Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, the one and only. It is Thursday, July 6, 2023. Glad to have you along on hour number two. Kat Hadley, fascinating guest last hour from Patriotic Millionaires. That's it. I said during the break, Kat Hadley, a lovely woman, but all I could think about, you know, was when Letterman used to do that. And you know, anytime the word cats was mentioned, he'd break out in this goofy rendition of the musical Cats. Wouldn't it be spectacular if they sent out all of these flyers from Patriotic Millionaires and then it just ended up being like a touring thing of Cats?
As long as it's not the recent film adaptation.
I
value my eyes and not wanting to gouge them out with spoons.
You don't want to see James Corden in a cat outfit?
Oh, it's CG. It's there's no outfit.
There was no outfit? They were just all in green attire?
Yeah, it's like that whole movie is just CG. And there's a reason it's hated.
I did not spend a dollar on that movie.
Me either.
Coming up at the bottom of this hour, you're going to want to stick around for somebody who's worth more than a buck. In fact, quite a few. It is our friend, Mr. John Roach from here in Madison. He is a writer, a filmmaker, and all-around cool dude. Mr. Roach is going to be in and talking to us about Wisconsin's love affair with the summer cabin. All at one time or another, a lot of people probably spend some time at either their own or a friend's or acquaintance's summer cabin. Maybe it's just getting up north for a camping trip. What is it about Wisconsinites that we love to get up north during the summer? John will be in talking about that.
You know, with how beautiful it is up there, Of course you want to.
Right? It's tranquil. Talking about it. Also, if we have time, I want to ask John, his big project was The Straight Story many years ago. We talked about that last month with our visit with John Roach. Fantastic movie. If you've never seen it, stream The Straight Story. It's called The Straight Story. Really, really great, about based on a true story of this farmer from Iowa who wants to go visit his dying brother in Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin, and he can't drive, doesn't have a driver's license. So he drives his lawn tractor from Iowa to Wisconsin. It's a magical movie. And going to talk to John Roach if we have time, beyond summer cabins. This new picture, the Tom Cruise picture, Mission Impossible, coming out. And they do a lot of their own stunts. As Mr. Zommers pointed out, it's kind of a mix between real stunts and CGI, computer generated. And I'm going to ask John, which does he prefer? All CGI, or does he appreciate the real stunts? And are movies like The Straight Story still getting made? Just a quiet picture, beautiful picture. But there's no big bombs in The Straight Story. So I'm looking forward to that. At 2:30, John Roach will be in with us at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned for that. Want to clean up a couple of things there from the Patriotic Millionaires. Again, if you're in southwest Wisconsin and you want to attend next Wednesday, July 12th, you're welcome to do so. You can show up just at the door, or better to pre-register. You can do that by emailing Kat@CAT, that's Kat@patrioticmillionaires.org, Kat@patrioticmillionaires.org, or give them a call. You can register that way, 734-664-7344. Again, 734-664-7344. Great organization. Should be a great night. It's for Republicans or Democrats or Independents. The point was, it's not for any political party. It is not a partisan event. It is to come and get educated on money and on taxation and look at the facts. As we like to say, pursue the truth wherever it may lead. Let's go to the phones, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Go up to the SAC, as in prayer to SAC. Mark from the SAC, sir, what say you?
Yeah, and thanks for having the Patriotic Millionaires on the program. I couldn't help but remember, as I probably said in the past, that Andrew Carnegie at the end of his his life was filled with, you know, a guy that seemed pretty greedy and enriching himself at the expense of others. When he passed away, he actually gave most of his money away, only left a modest fortune to his surviving family. Mm-hmm. And that's where you see all the Carnegie libraries and so I mean that's I'll leave it there.
Yeah,
I mean,
a great point, Mark. And we had a Carnegie Library Richland Center, and so one of the great atrocities of local history that building got torn down. But Dr. Keith Brewer ended up giving the money for the library they have now, Richland Center. But yeah, Carnegie libraries were all over the country. So, Mark from the SAC, appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much, sir. Always appreciate your call. Thanks for listening to us on WMDX here in Madison and on the Civic Media app. I invite all of you to download the Civic Media app as well. Simply go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, and it'll come up, has a C and an M, kind of a red and blue logo. Very cool. Takes less than a minute. It is free. That's what Gail King calls a deal. You can download the Civic Media app, take Mr. Zommers and I with you Monday through Friday, every afternoon, 1 until 3, and listen to all the other great programming as well here on the Civic Media Radio Network. When we come back, we are going to talk about one of my least favorite subjects, but one that I bring up from time to time simply because I think we need to be in the know. Talk about the Trumpster, Donald Trump. What has he been up to? What is he sending out? Now it says Truth Social. I was going to say Twitter, but it's Truth Social. And one of the overlooked stories, I think, this week, it appears that Donald Trump sent a person with guns to the Obama household. We'll explain when we come back. Not going to want to miss it on the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on a Thursday, July 6th, Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. Glad to have you along with us. Welcome in your calls for the next 15 minutes or so, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789, or we'll make it easy for you, 844-96-PARTY. That's P-A-R-T-Y, 844-96-PARTY. Welcome your calls. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have our friend John Roach, writer and filmmaker based here in Madison. I believe he is at his own cabin in northern Wisconsin. He'll be joining us from there, talking about Wisconsin's love affairs with the summer cabin up north, and also talk a little bit about films as well and summer movies and anything else that John Roach may be. He's one of those guys, John Roach, where you can sit and what doesn't matter whether it's a beer, a cup of coffee. You just sit down, could be on a deck next to a lake, could be at your favorite watering hole, your favorite dive bar, or reading his work. Wrote for Madison Magazine for years. Just one of those guys I find fascinating. Like, whatever, doesn't matter what the subject is, he just starts talking, and between his mellow, chill voice and his lifetime of knowledge, John Roach, always a fascinating guest, and looking forward to talking to him at the bottom of the hour. Want to talk now, though, about the Trumpster, Donald Trump, and a couple of stories that are just not, I don't think, getting enough airplay. And again, I try not to focus on Trump a lot because it's like, why give him the platform? He has enough of his own. But I also think it's just imperative that we understand what danger still lies. And what this man is and does not change. And why, if God forbid, he would get into the White House again, in my opinion, it could be the end of American democracy and representative democracy as we know it. Story over the last couple of days that Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential candidate, doxed the Obamas on Truth Social. Truth Social, of course, is his own platform that he went to after he left Twitter. And Mr. Zommers, you being the Gen Zer of this team here, explain to people what doxing is.
So yes, I think we mentioned it, but it was probably like 6 months ago at this point.
So my memory isn't that good.
And also it was just one brief thing.
All right.
But for everybody who may not know. So doxing, D-O-X-X-I-N-G, it's taking the word documents, shortening it to docs, and you're doxing somebody. They just changed it to X's to make it look better.
Got it.
Is taking somebody's personally, privately identifiable information and making it public. So
there you go.
If I were to, on my Twitter, just post Todd's address or like his social security number or, I don't know, pictures of his family and their locations and stuff, I'd be doxing him. That's wrong and illegal.
Yeah.
And it is almost always done with malicious intent. And it's a messed up thing to do.
It is a messed up. That's a great, good way to put it, Mr. Zombers. It's a messed up thing to do. So the former president of the United States, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee for 2024, Donald J. Trump, doxed the Obamas, as in the former president and first lady, on Truth Social, his own social media platform. Trump posted the alleged addresses or address of the Obamas in Chicago. I believe Chicago. And a January 6th defendant, they call it, instead of retweeting on Truth Social, they call it retruthing. All right, fine. So he basically reposted it. One of the January 6th defendants, of course, from the insurrection of January 6th. And after he reposted it, this guy who was at the insurrection on January 6th drives to the address of the Obamas. The Secret Service arrested this guy. And in his van were two guns with hundreds of rounds of ammunition. This is where we are at today. When a former president discloses personal private information of a former president and encourages violence through his words and action, and one of his followers from the insurrection with guns and hundreds of rounds of ammunition shows up at the Obama home.
I feel like there's no other way you can construe this. Like, with January 6th, I also feel like there's no other way you can construe that, where he's like, give them hell, we're going to take over the Capitol. Send people there, we're going to go there, it's going to be great. And now, just posting the other former president's address, that's...
it's messed up.
It is.
it's messed up, as you say. But that's not all that the former president's been up to. Last night on the said Truth Social, this is what he posted after there was cocaine found in the White House. And again, Secret Service is investigating. There was apparently, it was like a dime size, like a dime-sized bag of cocaine found in an area that visitors would put their cell phone in when you visit the West Wing of the White House. And so they're still trying to find out how this dime-sized bag of cocaine got in the White House. Over the weekend, President Biden was not there. He was at Camp David. But they did tours, public tours, over the weekend. Where the public, you have to give your, by the way, you can't just get in line and go. You have to register, give them your social security number. They do a background check. So they pretty much know everybody, not pretty much. They know everyone who's been in the White House. So they may be able to track this person down via that and cameras, or they might not. So here was Donald Trump's reaction last night on Truth Social to this incident. Quote, quoting Trump on his own Truth Social, does anybody really believe that the cocaine found in the West Wing in the White House, very close to the Oval Office, is for the use of anyone other than Hunter and Joe Biden? But watch. The fake news media will soon start saying that the amount found was, quote unquote, very small. And it wasn't really cocaine, but rather common ground up aspirin. And the story will vanish. Has deranged Jack Smith, the crazy Trump-hating special prosecutor, been seen in the area of the cocaine? He looks like a crackhead to me. Unquote. For a president who is under indictment by special prosecutor Jack Smith, goes on social media to call the guy who is prosecuting him in a felony case a crackhead.
I hope he gets indicted on libel.
I mean, This guy is, he's just nuts. There's no other way to say it.
And also, if Donald Trump has not done cocaine one time in his whole life, right. I will surrender all of my future income and donate it to him.
Donate it to him. What do you think about this? I mean, between doxing Obama and now the cocaine, this comment attacking Jack Smith, what do you think? 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Glad to have you along with us on a Thursday afternoon, July 6th. Let's go to the phones now. Wisco Paul. Wisco Paul, what say you, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. I wish the, I believe it or not, I do have Republican friends, by the way, and most of them are not on board with what Trump's doing, you know, the election deadline, January 6th and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just wish they would cut ties with this man because he's turning into a dangerous individual. You could actually hurt or harm other people, maybe even worse than that. So I think they'd be better for it. I don't think they'd have a problem winning elections in this state or anywhere else. Just get rid of this guy. I mean, there's I've reached a point where I'm just so sick of this, especially this latest thing here. So I wish they'd get rid of him, and that's my comment for today. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
For taking my call on your show.
I always appreciate it, Wisco Paul. You're welcome here anytime. I agree with Wisco Paul. I mean, what baffles me is why are people like Brian Schimming, the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party? Brian's a smart guy. I know him. Why won't Brian Schimming, the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party, condemn this sort of nonsense? As Wisco Paul points out, it's going to get somebody killed. Let's go to the phones. Dick in Madison. Dick, welcome to the show. What say you?
Well, is it possible that Don Jr. visited over the weekend?
I had that thought.
Yeah, but also to Trump, something that's not getting a real lot of play.
Yeah.
This situation that finally came to a head today, apparently, with his bodyguard or whatever he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where else but somebody like him or the likes of his ilk get away with three times you show up, twice without an attorney? Why didn't the judge just say, look, I'm going to assign a public defender, and you're going to show up with that public defender if you can't find legal counsel? This is just ridiculous to constantly say that everybody's treated the same under the law. Not even close.
Yeah, agree. What Dick's talking about, according to Axios here, I have it up in front of me, Trump aide Walt Nauta pleaded not guilty to the classified documents case today. But yeah, he's it's extraordinary, is it not?
It's beyond anything I could think of. I mean, anybody else, you would not have gotten three tries to go before a judge.
Yeah.
I just don't see that happening.
No, and this our colleague Matt Flynn Direct, which comes up after the 3 o'clock news. Of course, he is an attorney himself, and he's talked about this judge in this case. I mean, she's had some of her decisions questioned before as well. I think Special Prosecutor Jack Smith is just he's trying to do everything by the book so as not to leave any loophole once they go through the whole the trial system and hopefully get a conviction.
Yeah, well. Well, it can't happen fast enough in my mind.
Dick, I'm with you on that. I'm just saying. I think that I'm no attorney like Matt Flynn or Maggie Dawn. They can explain it better than I. But I think it's just a matter of trying to double cross T's and double dot I's to make sure that on appeal or otherwise that everything's buttoned up in this law case. And the law sometimes doesn't always move as quick as we want. And it can definitely be frustrating. But, yeah, I agree with Dick. Not too many times that you or I would get a three tries in front of a judge. We'd be found in contempt is certainly my thought. We're going to change gears. We come back and talk with our friend John Roach. He is a writer here from Madison, Wisconsin, and also a filmmaker as well. All-around cool dude. The Wisconsin love affair with the cabin up north on the lake. Placid, watching the sunset, doing a little bass fishing maybe in a kayak or a canoe, just taking a nature with a brewski. It's kind of the summer dream, right? At least if you live in Wisconsin, bring a fly swatter along or some DEET or something as well. As the although the mosquitoes not as bad this year, at least out here in the Madison area. If there's one thing the drought has helped, it's the mosquito season.
Maybe they're all splooting or something. I don't know.
Do mosquitoes sploot?
Somehow I don't think so.
I don't think so. I had a friend of mine texted last night. We talked about this before, splooting, where animals lay with all four of their legs like straight out to kind of cool themselves. So he had a dog that splooted.
I saw a squirrel doing it yesterday, and
did you really?
It was dead.
We'll come back. No dead squirrel stories. It's John Roach after this. Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. Mr. Aaron Zomer is our producer and engineer. It is now 1:33 on the time and temperature sign. Glad to have you along on a Thursday, July 6th. And glad to have our friend back on the show. In our second segment, we had to have you on once a month. This is fantastic. John Roach from Madison. I wrote down in the notes for today to promote it. I said writer, filmmaker, and cool dude.
I don't know. That's probably a stretch. I'm too old to be cool.
No, I not at all. I you're one of these people, John. I loved your writing when you wrote in Madison Magazine. You're one of these people that
you
can just like pull up, you know, a chair, and it doesn't matter whether it's a beer or a cup of coffee, and just chat. And your life experience and the way you express it, I just find extraordinarily interesting, and our listeners and our viewers do too. So I appreciate you coming back on the show.
Thanks, Todd. I'm a loquacious Mick.
I like that. So we're talking, you are, for those of you who might be viewing on streaming on Twitter or Facebook, John joins us from his cabin up north. Can you disclose more or less where that cabin is at? Northern Wisconsin.
We're just in Arborvita, just outside of Monaco.
Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful.
On a little lake there. It's actually called Roach Lake.
Is it really? Is there family history there?
My mom and dad bought on it, but we are not old money. It was Roach Lake before our family was ever on it.
Okay.
But we let jerks think we're old money.
It's impressive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's our lake.
But, our family's been here almost 45, 50 years. My wife and I built our own place about 30 years ago, where our kids have grown up here during the summers and winters. Very small lake, no outboard motors, very on Golden Pond-ish.
One of my favorite movies, by the way.
Yeah, but a great... So when we built this place, I happened upon an article in Esquire magazine back when magazines existed. And it was at the advent of the cable era, but not quite internet.
Sure.
But the guy did this meditation on the three most valuable and rare commodities in the modern world are darkness, silence, and solitude.
Wow.
And you have all three of these up here. We're far away from any roads, so we really don't hear any ambient traffic, human noise. Most days you hear the sounds of the natural world almost solely. On a moonless night, it's as dark as can be. And I've had friends come up from Chicago and say, this is the first time I've seen the Milky Way since I was a kid.
Wow.
You know, and they're emotional about it. And then solitude. My personal best up here is 8 days in a row without seeing another human being.
That's fantastic.
And I'm very proud of it.
Right?
And I always say I'd like to come north because I get a break from the world and it gives the world a break from me.
Who needs a break from John Roach? Come on now.
But and then there's the other shared time with family up on these little, in these beautiful woods on these beautiful, clear little lakes. Lake time is not the same as the rest of time, city time, you know, when you're running around and everyone's got someplace to go and up here, you know, you sit and you have coffee together and you watch the moon come up and you listen to the loons call and time absolutely slows down. We have no television in our cabin. We have no clock to speak of in our cabin.
Awesome.
So it's all books, music, campfires, conversation.
And that's, John.
And falling in the lake. And falling in the lake.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, Wisconsinites have had a love affair with the up north cabin or the north woods over the summer for years and years. Not just the summer, but in particular the summer. For the many, if not all, the reasons you've stated. But it seems like to me, and this kind of like, I don't know why, I've been moving apartments the last couple of weeks, and I've been watching people on the sidewalk that they've got their earphones plugged in and looking at their cell phones. It's like we've become the Borg, you know, to use a Star Trek reference. We're always plugged in. And whether it's back home in Southwest Wisconsin where I go for a hike, or whether it's going out to Picnic Point here in Madison, I'm astounded when I'm walking or hiking and I run into people with earphones and earbuds on. I'm like, my God, just listen to the nature for a second. And right. I think cabins... that it still holds dear, right?
Sure. No question. We do have internet up here, which allows me to work from up here, which is a blessing. Mm-hmm. And my kids, our adult children, my wife. But it's wonderfully quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We do have music, but, I mean, we just play it on, quiet music on speakers, or on the little pontoon boat, where it augments the natural world and it sings harmony with it as opposed to fighting it. But I see all sorts of people come up here, most of them from big cities, where they're actually uncomfortable with the silence, uncomfortable being alone with their own thoughts. Yeah. And so they have to make noise. And I personally am not a fan of snowmobiles, ATVs, jet skis. It's as if you have to come up to this beautiful, quiet, sacred place and then impose the noise of the city upon it. And I think that's, people should just stop and think about that a little bit, because I think it's a little, I view it as sacrilegious. I'm a non-consumptive user of the North Woods. I try to make as little noise as possible. I'll snowshoe or cross-country ski, no snowmobiles, little trolling motor, electric motor, no outboard motor. And there's plenty of noise to be had in the big outside world. Why you want to bring it with you is beyond me.
I could not agree with you more on that, John. One of my favorite Kenny Chesney songs is called Noise. And it speaks to that, just that, that everybody's making noise, everybody's listening to noise, and what do? Create more noise.
And also, it's really good to have to have quiet and to be with yourself in an undistracted fashion. I have friends who are big on meditating, and I don't really I see nothing wrong with it. I've dabbled in it myself, but. They say, well, you should meditate. I said, well, I go up to the cabin alone for 8 days. If that's not meditation, I don't know what is.
Right.
After day three, you talk aloud to yourself. It just comes naturally.
Yeah.
I once wrote that, when you're up north alone for more than 48 hours, you start hearing a voice and you realize it's yourself talking to yourself.
Wow. I mean, whether people believe in a God or a particular religion, to me, what you just described is the most religious experience one can have.
Yeah, God as you know him, right? I mean, it's like, and also, I had 12 years of Catholic education, so nothing can make you an agnostic any faster than that. But I think the natural world is absolutely holy. And I've said our lake is holy. I said, people come up and they're anxious and depressed. And I go, well, honestly, in this modern world, if you're not anxious and depressed, you're just not paying attention.
Yeah.
But I said, it's time for you to come up and, immerse yourself in the healing waters of the lake, because I do think the natural world heals us. There's no question about it.
I think that's so true. And it's, again, to the point of we're so connected now. And it seems like we've gotten to the point where we're just, if you can be, over-connected. And I think literally unplugging sometimes and going up north. For those who can't or don't have a place up north, just get outside, right? Go to your local state park. Go to your local hiking trail and listen to nature. And I believe in this, that you can be healed from that.
There are no bars in our cabin. Wow. I don't get any bars on my phone in our cabin. I have to walk out onto the pier and in the winter to the middle of the lake to get two bars.
Yeah.
And also now, obviously, I'm talking to you via Starlink internet.
Right.
But the weather invariably interferes with phones and internet service up here all the time because the woods are so dense and big. Mm-hmm. And all it takes is one small tree branch and everything, you're off grid completely. You know, the electricity's out, you are, you know, bucket flushing with, you know, on the toilet with water from the lake.
Right.
And you know, you've got a can, you know, a fireplace for heat, and all of a sudden it's 1880, you know, which right. I find just delightful.
I do too. And one of the favorite things, my stepmother's family had a small cabin on a lake years ago and used to spend a little time up there, which was magical. I enjoy getting back to Southwest Wisconsin or any place that has water as well. One of the things I love to do that I haven't had a chance to do beyond work, really, is read. And I don't mean yes. the Kindle or my phone. I'm talking about a book with actual pages in it. Did you still enjoy yeah. reading like that? I find that therapeutic.
I am a voracious reader at mm-hmm. the cabin. I do. I'm going to defend the Kindle.
Okay.
My issue when I was up at the cabin before the Kindle is I would run out of books.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Terrible position to be in. Right? You know, I read every book on our shelves, and then...
you have to write your own then, John.
Well, I've done two compilations of my columns. But, yeah, I've got a little something in the works, but who knows. But the... I just love reading. I read every night before I go to bed too, because, and I've told my kids, if you're really anxious or, you know, struggle with mild depression or anything, the best way to get a good night's sleep is to read before you go to bed, because mm-hmm. reading takes you out of your life and your world into another world. Yeah. And it adds context and perspective to your own world. And you just read yourself to sleep, and there's no sounder sleep.
Any good recommendations for a summer read that you've come across lately for anybody?
Well, I'm rereading a book that I touted to everyone over a decade ago called Masters of the Air. I was a history major at Wisconsin.
Sure.
So, my family history is somewhat military. My uncle, my grandfather and my uncle were both adjutant generals of the 32nd Division
really?
In the state
wow.
of Wisconsin.
That's cool.
My grandfather was on MacArthur's staff. My uncle Jack McCann was on First Wave Omaha Beach. Mm. So I grew up around military guys, and I was a history major and loved military history. So I've been telling everyone about this book, Masters of the Air, which was about the 8th Army Air Force, mm. which is what they called the U.S. Air Force before there was an actual branch of the military. And these are the bomber pilots who kept, and fighter pilots, mm. who kept Germany at bay for 2 years while the Allies marshaled the forces to do a land invasion of Normandy.
Wow.
And they had the highest casualty rates of any branch of service. And their courage was just astonishing.
Yeah.
And so if you recall, Stephen Ambrose wrote Band of Brothers, Steven mm-hmm. Spielberg and Tom Hanks optioned it, made it monster hit. Then they did The Pacific, based partially on With the Old Breed by Eugene Sledge, mm-hmm. about the Marines marching across the island, hopping their way across the Pacific to crush the Japanese Empire. And this third book, Master of the Air, is now being produced by Spielberg and Hanks,
wow.
starring Miles Teller, and it's going to be released anytime now.
Oh, really?
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I'm rereading that book. I'm at an age where I go back and read books I wrote 10, 20 years ago. And I really like it. Your comprehension is better the second time around. It's not bad the first time around, yeah. but you can savor some books you've read before a lot better. So I'm rereading Masters of the Air.
When you see a movie that's based on a book, are you one who enjoys reading the book prior to seeing the movie, or do you want to see the movie first?
Absolutely, book first.
I'm the same. I'm exactly the same. People are like, oh, you know what goes on? I'm like, no, but then I feel like I know what's in the character's mind as I'm watching the movie.
Well, I view the book as sacrosanct.
Yeah.
Right? An author lives with that book for years.
Mm-hmm.
The film director and all, I honor that craft. Obviously, I've been involved in that industry.
Yeah.
David Marinus once optioned the rights to the book.
Hang on, John. We got to take a break. Come back more. John Roach will talk about movies, some summer movies. Stay with us, John Roach, on the Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 2:50. 2:50 in the afternoon. That is 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. 10 minutes before Matt Flynn Direct takes the air after the top of the hour news and weather. Matt Flynn Direct, you're not going to want to miss it. At 4 o'clock then, Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom. Never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates at 6 o'clock. That's a spectacular new program. The Maggie Dawn Show at 8 o'clock. It is Rick Smith Across America. And 10 o'clock, Tape Delayed, our friend Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. Great program. Focuses on some of those northern Wisconsin and Minnesota areas from a Native perspective. Really great show, Native Roots with Robert Pilot. Yeah, really great. If you'd like to, not taking calls this half hour, but if you'd like to text in, you could do it by either just texting or on the Civic Media app. There's now a little emoji or icon, I guess you'd say, to text in 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC texted in, and he said, remember when the power went out and you hauled out the Coleman two burner and the Coleman lantern or a kerosene lamp to deal with? It happened to me more than once. I have both on standby today just in case. I remember those days.
Oh, absolutely. Right? But you know, now I've got solar lamps that put out on the porch. They charge up if we lose power, have those. And there's a whole closet full of stuff to bring out. Candles.
Right.
I mean, come on, candles.
Absolutely.
I think everyone up north has a little bit of prepper in them, a little bit of a, dystopian. Well, what if all, I've got a water filter and I've got a flint to start fire just in case, just in case. And we on April 1st this year, we had 16 inches of snow in 7 hours up at our cabin.
Holy cow. And
it was spectacular.
Yeah.
But we had a hard time getting out. And so when that snow falls in the spring, especially, you go, oh, we could lose power.
Right.
So whenever big storms are coming in, I always check the shelves for all my, candles and, my survival, my go bag.
And I think, John, to the point, I think during the pandemic, during COVID, I know of at least two people that had properties, even small little cabins up north, and they just said, look, I'm going to the cabin for the next 5 months. And I mean, those people that have cabins, they were prepared for the pandemic.
Well, the school district up north in the Minocqua area, they had like 50 to 100 extra kids during COVID because people who had second homes hit up here, left Chicago, Milwaukee, to some extent Madison, and just moved up here till the pandemic subsided, which I don't think is a bad idea.
No, it's fascinating. Why don't you get into the Summer Movie Fest? Of course, John, your great project, your great film, The Straight Story, which if people have not seen it, what the heck's the matter with you? Dial it up on the stream or elsewhere. The Straight Story, a great true story based on a true story of a gentleman who wanted to visit a dying brother in southwest Wisconsin from Iowa and ended up riding his lawnmower, basically, and just a beautiful, beautiful film. I want to get your take on this, John. It,
directed by David Lynch, produced by Mary Sweeney, and written by Mary, and edited by Mary.
What a gracious guy. But still a John Roach film. It was fantastic.
I think technically Hollywood would call it a David Lynch film, and justifiably so.
But they're not a badger like I am. So
it's a good writing credit, though. I'll take the writing credit.
All right, very good. So summer blockbusters are starting to come out now. You got the Indiana Jones film, which I have not seen. Now next week you've got the new Mission Impossible, and at least I was watching special on CBS because of course it's all global or Paramount Global now. But at least you know the Tom Cruise film, they have some actual real stunts happening in that film. It's not all CGI. When you go to watch movies now, John, do you still appreciate that sort of, I'll call it old time movie making?
Absolutely. I'm not a big CG guy. I'm not a big Marvel guy. I've never been a big Star Wars guy.
Now, see, that's what I am. Yeah.
I'm a story character guy.
Yeah.
And I know there's a place for everyone for that. And I don't, you know, whatever, you know, flips your switch.
Right.
But I'm more of a, you know, human drama type guy. And I love the fact that theaters are making a comeback.
Yeah.
There's nothing like going into a theater. I mean, my dirty little secret is I sometimes if I have this is pre-COVID and now that COVID's over, I love getting my meetings out of the way on Mondays and going to the movie theaters on a Monday afternoon when no one's there and going to see two or three movies in a row. This was after our kids were out of the house.
That's super cool.
Get some popcorn and just go see one movie after another. And it's like your own screening room because there's maybe one or two people
right.
in there with
you.
And also, you know, movies at their best are immersive experiences, and you can't fully get that at home. I don't care how big your screen is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is that movies are collective experiences. When you go to a big movie like Indiana Jones or Mission Impossible and the place is packed, you're watching and reacting together.
Right.
And that is a force multiplier, right? Mm. Like everyone laughing at once or being shocked at once, that's communal and it's in the best way possible, right?
Absolutely.
And then you all kind of usher out and you're still, you know, the good movies, you sit in your chair and you can't move.
Yes.
You're still in the world of that film.
Yes.
And even as you're ushering out, you're with people and you're going, whoa,
right?
What the hell was that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's just a beautiful thing. It's made movies, you know, in terms of the arts, they're at the top of the food chain for that reason. And also movies use all the other arts to tell the story. There's music and sound and dialogue and acting and you know, the artistry of painting, except with a picture that moves. And so they're just a marvelous, marvelous art and industry. And I went and saw Air in the theater.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
I saw Air in the theater. Okay. Maybe I did. Maybe I saw it streaming. But I thought that was a great little film.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon had a ridiculous soliloquy in that film. If you haven't seen it,
I have. I want to see it. I'm a big Matt Damon fan. So yeah,
there's a soliloquy where he's pitching Michael Jordan and his mother on joining Nike, which was like the fourth or fifth biggest shoe at the time. And he plays a character named Sonny Vaccaro. Mm. And the soliloquy he has in that thing is exquisite.
I got to watch it. One of my favorite Matt Damon films, nobody knows, is called All the Pretty Horses.
I just rewatched that.
Did you really?
Cormac McCarthy, God rest his soul, just passed.
Where did you find, because I only have it on VHS, because I don't think they ever put it on DVD because of a lot of legal mumble jumble.
I watched it on cable.
Wow. People haven't seen it, All the Pretty Horses, Matt Damon, Billy Bob Thornton, really, really great. Yeah, really great.
And a really tough film to watch. There's some brutal stuff there.
Absolutely. Always great to have you with us, John Roach, writer and all-around cool dude, filmmaker as well. Thank you so much, sir, for taking time out of your privacy of your cabin to join us today. Thank you, John.
Have a good day. Thanks, Todd. Always nice talking to you.
You as well. John Roach, we appreciate him. Appreciate also Kat Hadley for being with us from Patriotic Millionaires. And, of course, you for listening and watching via the stream. Stay tuned now for Matt Flynn Direct. And, above all, keep believing and keep banging on your drum. Whatever you believe in, don't give up. Your day will come. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.